After his resurrection, Jesus summons his remaining disciples and commissions them to baptize and to teach all nations in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Our gospel for this Trinity Sunday is from Matthew, the 28th chapter, beginning at verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord.
Sisters and brothers in Christ of the Western North Dakota Synod, grace and peace to you from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. First of all, I want to offer my thanks and praise to congregations from across our Synod of Western North Dakota for your financial and for your physical, your hands and your feet and your voices and your prayerful support of our shared ministry and mission together through our local congregations, through our Synod, and through our church-wide communities. You are a gift for which I give God thanks and praise. I thank you for your support of the rostered ministers and elected volunteers who serve alongside you throughout each year, for your patience in locations where we're in that liminal time and space in the call process and in that season of a call process. And I give thanks for your unending belief that God is with us, that God is for us in all that we say and do. And finally, I give thanks and praise for your openness to allowing your rostered ministers, your pastors and deacons, and your voting members from your congregation to be at Synod Assembly on this particular Sunday. Because believe it or not, folks, this is the only Sunday of the year, the only one, when our rostered ministers are able to be together in the same space, being together in a time of worship when they don't need to do anything but be present and receive the good news and be together in a sacred and holy time of worship. Words simply can't express what a gift that is for them and to them. So thank you for being open to that possibility. This Sunday, we celebrate one of the central doctrines of the Christian faith. It's a doctrine that many of us might not understand all that well, even if we devote our entire life to studying it and trying to figure it out. I mean, even the great church reformer, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther, is known to have said, to try to deny the Trinity endangers your salvation. To try to comprehend the Trinity endangers your sanity. Now, for some of our earliest reflections in the Christian movement, we turn to a church father named Tertullian, who in the late second century was seeking to understand and identify more fully who God is. Now, the idea of the Trinity, of God, Father, and Son, becomes more clearly spelled out in the doctrine of our Christian church during the Council of Nicaea in around 325 and the Council of Constantinople in 381. And then finally, in the year 1334, Pope John the 22nd placed it on the Christian liturgical calendar as a Sunday that we would celebrate after the day of Pentecost, which we celebrated in most of our churches last Sunday. Now, it's very easy to get stuck on thinking about the doctrine of the Trinity from an academic perspective or a theological perspective that only uses academic concepts. This has actually consumed theologians and academics for centuries, believe it or not. But I've come to believe over the years that the doctrine of the Trinity is not something that we discover only in academic study or theory, or by believing that our relationship with God is based upon God and me being buddies in some sort of strange way. The doctrine of the Trinity places you and me as children of God in the right now of the world, in the right now of God's creation that's ever unfolding before us. the right now of being in relationship with God and with each other through a Savior named Jesus, as the one whom God has sent to walk among us through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that gives us life and breath each and every day. Right now, right here, today, God with us, God for us. Catherine Lacugna begins her monumental book, God for Us, The Trinity and Christian Life, with this thought. She says, Trinitarian theology could be described as a theology of relationship, which explores the mysteries of love, relationship, personhood, and communion within the framework of God's self-revelation in the person of Christ and the activity of the Spirit. A theology of relationship. I like that. God with us and for us in the Holy Trinity right now, lifting you and me up even when we are broken by anger or hatred or loneliness or death. God with us and for us in the Holy Trinity right now, sending us out to be the hands and feet and listening ears to our neighbors whom the world has deemed as less than or not important at all to the beauty of the communities in which we live and serve. God with us and for us in the Holy Trinity right now, bringing restoration and hope to each one of us. Even when we don't think we need anything from anyone else, we can do it ourselves, just leave me alone. God comes to us in Jesus, and because of that truth, we are in fact never alone. And now, I believe that we are being called as we gather for worship on this Sunday across our synod together in one worshiping community in 162 different locations. I believe that God is calling us to put the theology of relationship that we have already received in the Holy Trinity into a life-giving sign of God's love in our congregations and our communities across this synod and around this church. You see, in February of 2022, the Western North Dakota Synod Council adopted a new why statement for our synod, the first time we had done such a thing in several years. A why statement can also be known or thought of as a purpose statement or a mission statement. The why guru for the last 15 years or so in the United States is a guy named Simon Sinek. And Simon says that an organization or a community's why statement is the expression of who we are when we are at our natural best. The expression of who we are when we are at our natural best. In other words, who we are as God's children, as we live out our faith as people who are unconditionally loved and accepted by the God of all creation. Or, to be even more direct, Simon Sinek believes and sees that our why is the very reason why we exist and why anyone should care why we exist. I mean, why does the Western North Dakota Synod of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America exist? And why should any one of the communities where the 162 congregations of our synod have been planted, why should anyone living in those communities care that these congregations exist? I mean, if all of the congregations of our synod ceased to exist tomorrow, would anyone notice? I mean, sisters and brothers in Christ of the Western North Dakota Synod, I'm so very grateful for our synod's why statement because I truly believe that people would notice if we ceased to exist. People would notice. And I'm grateful for the Holy Spirit's work through hundreds of people over the course of the past few years that sought the Holy Spirit's guidance that brought this short little sentence of our why into existence. I'm grateful that at least a handful of our people in our synod are aware that we actually do have a why statement today and are at least mildly interested in what that might mean for the ways that we are being called to share the good news of Jesus Christ for generations to come on the North Dakota Prairie. And I'm grateful for the mission and ministry that will begin to emerge in the not too distant future because God has planted this why statement upon us. to encourage and equip the ministries of the Western North Dakota Synod so that the good news of Jesus Christ is proclaimed and all God's children feel welcomed and included in the ministries to which God calls us. That's our synod's reason to exist, sisters and brothers. That's why and how our synod believes God is with us, that God is for us, to encourage and equip the ministries of the Western North Dakota Synod so that the good news of Jesus Christ is proclaimed and all God's children feel welcomed and included in the ministries to which God calls us. As our synod assembly has gathered over the past few days in Bismarck, we have focused on four key words that come from the synod's why statement: welcomed, included, equipped, and called. And there's been one little tiny verse of scripture from a short little book in the New Testament called Philemon, although it's at least four verses longer than the actual shortest book of the Bible. We heard Paul writing to his friend Philemon and saying, "I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good that we may do in Christ." In this letter from the Apostle Paul to his friend, Paul repeatedly uses language that calls attention to the relationship that they have, that the relationship that's been formed by them being united in Christ Jesus. And central to this letter, faith is understood to be about relationship or partnership with others in the community. The Greek word here is koinonia. Throughout our assembly this past few days, we've heard stories of relationships that we have as God works through many holy places across this church in every corner of the world. We've participated in Bible study and prayer centered in the words of our why statement and Paul's reminder to us that our relationship that we share is in Christ Jesus. We've been invited to actually read a book together as a synod. The book is called You Are Witnesses to These Things. Across congregations in our synod this over the next year, it is my hope that we will read this book together in order for it to more fully equip us to become more confident in sharing the story of Jesus with others, even with those who aren't part of our congregations today or those who don't even know who Jesus is yet. In Bishop Craig Satterlee's own words, the author of the book, You Are Witnesses of These Things, he writes this on the first page: "People close to and around you, as well as our world, urgently need to receive the good news that Jesus loves them, that Jesus brings them life and is at work in the world to turn silence into speech, despair into hope, division into reconciliation, brokenness into wholeness, hatred into forgiveness, and repentance and death into life." So, sisters and brothers in Christ, now, after Synod Assembly concludes this day, and after we leave these worship services that we're in across our synod, we're invited to take all of this home, to leave the place that we are gathered together in worship with each other today, whether that's online or sitting in a congregation or at the Synod Assembly in a hotel ballroom in Bismarck. We're invited to take all of this with us and to get to work, doing all the good that we are going to get to do in and for Christ Jesus. As you do this work, may you be broken enough at times to welcome one another as Christ has first welcomed you, in order for God's glory to be revealed to all creation. May you disagree enough with each other that you will be challenged in ways to include each other in order to experience unity in Christ that only comes after listening deeply to one another's stories. And may you be vulnerable enough to realize that you need to continue learning and growing in the faith in order to be better equipped to share the story of Jesus with everyone God places along your path. Within the sacred and ancient Holy Trinity, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you always. You and I are claimed as children of God, now and forever. God is with us. God is for us. And thanks be to God for that truth.